This episode is brought to you by Allstate. Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel-toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
So look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
Da-na, da-na, da-na. Okay. I'm at a sleep at the wheel. I'm at a sleep at the wheel. It's okay. It's at the game today, so that's busy.
Jimmy it's Toscano okay. Doing his best John Zanis impersonation tonight, wearing the glasses.
And you can see I got a ring camera. You can see it in my eyes. Guys, I have glasses on so that I will not touch my left eye because it wants to jump out of the eye socket. Something is going on with my left eye right now, and I can't figure out what it is. And I keep wanting to like do the whole this thing. And so glasses are on so that every time I try to, I can't. So that's where we're at with the glasses. I don't think I look cool. I'm not wearing them because I want to like make a statement. I'm protecting my own health right now.
You don't
protecting
look
myself
cool.
From myself.
Yeah. No, confirmed. You do not look cool.
Thank but you that's for not, confirming. You know, yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. They called this a dumber double boomer show, and Jimmy has because you're doing the Zanis impression. That's why. That's
oh, okay. Because yeah. Let's be real.
I ain't no boomer.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. No big deal that all the boomers took all our land and they just like. No big deal that they're draining Social Security. It's totally fine. Boomers are cool with me, man.
You don't need it.
I've had it. We're cool. Us millennials and Gen Zers, we'll be fine. Don't
actual
worry about
actual boomers are destroyed your social security. Yeah,
right. Yeah, you're on the tail end.
So yes, exactly.
It's not pink eye. I knew that was going to happen. It's not.
If you want to go full Xanax, and I don't suggest you do that. Ignore Xanax and go at people.
You never go full
you
Xanax.
You idiots don't understand. No.
You never go full Xanax.
Never
that's,
go full Xanax.
Yeah, you know, you don't come back. It's like Hollywood.
You
never go full Xanax.
Can't go full Xanax. You know, so, hey, the kids are back. The kids are back at the garden.
Oh, they're having a good time.
Yeah. So they'll be hanging out, having a great time.
And we'll have a great time here.
Yeah. And you guys, anyone who's expecting me to say bad things about Jalen hasn't been watching the last few shows, but that's okay.
Yeah, they're telling on themselves.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. You're not privy to the new shit. Observations? You're not privy to all the new shit, man.
You're not up on it.
You're not up on it. You know, a lot of ins and outs.
Observations anyway. we got all NBA Jalen tonight. That's my first observation. I think everybody probably had because we've been having some debates back and forth stemming from me and Bobby's quick convo about is Jalen Brown all NBA or is he not? What you're about to say something.
No, I'm just kind of doing your thing. I agree.
No, yeah, that's my main observation. I think that's you know, it's we're coming down the stretch here. We're trying to find things to talk about, guys. So like let us entertain us entertaining you. So like we've been having a convo. Is Jalen Brown an all NBA player this year? Is he a fringe guy? Is he locked into the second or third team? And we had a quick back and forth, me and Bobby did, I think last week, and it stemmed into a little bit of a bigger debate. And I think even since then, Jalen Brown's had some really good games. And I think you could make a very good case that he is on that, you know, at the least on that third all NBA team. But there's a lot of names
you might have to recalibrate the camera when you do the thing.
Oh, because it starts to look at yeah. I'm Windhurst.
What's it gonna do?
Honestly, I'd rather be blurry right now.
That's okay.
I'd rather be blurry. Amit's got a new webcam for me, I think. But anyways, Jalen Brown showed up.
Even Kess, no doubt. Jalen will get to near the back end of the show. Other observations for sure.
Yeah. Well, closing thoughts, Jalen tonight.
Closing thoughts, everyone. What do you guys think of Jalen?
The other guy is another obvious one.
I have a strong Jalen take, but okay. my global theme tonight was this is kind of a game like tonight is kind of why you don't have a lot of concern about most opponents they'll face in the first round. We're trying to talk ourselves into like, I wouldn't want to play that, and I wouldn't want to play this. And maybe Miami and maybe that. Right. But I think that's just like, you got to talk about something, right? But like Phoenix is a perfect example of a good team with some really good players who theoretically should be able to, you know, challenge you, who really wasn't a challenge for you. And you didn't have Kristaps Porzingis. And it was fine. And it's just a team that you beat. And again, yes, I agree. It's the PTSD from past performances, which we have to convince ourselves of, isn't this Celtics team. It can't find this Celtics team again, because at the core are Tatum and Brown. But you do get a sense, and this is where I'm going for Brown. I don't think Brown's fucking around right now. And that's what that's something I like. Tatum still always scares me. I don't like the variance on his shots. And like, look at first half, second half, you know, like, yeah, he had a great first half, but there's the pull-ups and the tough shots. Like my least favorite Tatum is the top five Tatum is cooking tonight, Tatum. Cause that's just, well, the shots fell tonight, but like, you know, and like, it's great when it happens, but then when it doesn't happen, it's like, ugh, and they're hard shots and they're not great. Like, it doesn't matter. All I'm saying is you've seen Tatum mentally take himself out of games when those shots don't fall and it have a trickle down impact on things. So he always concerns me more than Brown, who doesn't concern me at all, because he cleaned up the one area of his game that did worry you a little, this year and certainly lately, which is, turnovers. And like, you know, you put the ball in his hands and you let him do his thing, and it's going to result in bad shit because, you know, he's sloppy with the ball. He's tightened that up, I think, mainly because he's making just better decisions about when to do the things that he's doing instead of just charging forward. But since the All-Star break, is there any question who the best player on the team is?
No, it's been Jalen.
It's Brown by like a bit right now. You know, and not only that, if you look at the other interesting thing is he has outshot Tatum, I think, in maybe 6 out of 10 games or something like that. I forget exactly what the final tally was, but he's kind of taking the lead. Like, how many games have we said that, where did Brown go, right? Like, he started hot and he led the offense and then he disappeared. That's the other thing not happening now. He's kind of like, nah, I'm not going to do that anymore. Like, and whether that's on him, whether it's the Celtics involving him more or him just saying, because the question was always like, do they forget about him, or does he need to insert himself into it? And
I'd love to look at the numbers.
And that's what he's doing. And honestly, like, I like the quality of his shot profile better than I like Tatum's a lot of times. I like how he goes about it. I like that he's tougher around the rim and harder to guard in that regard. And it's the attitude and the way he's approaching it now that's really super, super impressive from him now, because he hasn't faded. He hasn't disappeared. In fact, he's kind of been put it on my back. I mean, Tatum, for as hot as he was in the first half, and clearly the first half story, I think went 1 for 8 in the second half. He just kind of went away. And Brown, when the game was won, is when Brown, you know, and the rest of, you know, many other people there along the way took it over.
Yeah. So what was their first game out of the break? Was that Washington on the road or at home? I'm not even sure, but looking at his numbers from February 18th, he's a different animal right now.
Yeah.
I mean, just
30 plus points a game.
One, two, three, four. I mean, he's got 5 games with well over 30. you know, like you said, John, the shot taking and the shot making is just a different level than it was before that All-Star break. Maybe it was the dunk contest, John. Maybe that's what it was, you know? He got the little bit of that limelight. Didn't go the way he wanted it to, but now he's got a little bit of a fire under his ass to say, all right, you know, onto the things that actually matter now. And yeah.
Last time I took a back seat to this guy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, as soon as he won, it was, John, when he watched Tatum walk out the door before the dunk contest ended, he said, F this guy and F this. I'm taking over.
Behind the scenes was the Arthur clenched fist that we didn't see.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Forget the glove. He was like, he dunked the ball like this somehow. The clenched fist.
But it's bananas right now. Look at since the All-Star game, they came out of the gate with Chicago, scores 21, but then he goes 30, 31, 25, 29, 21, 41, 27, 27, 37. Friggin'
right there.
Bringing it. And the shots as well. I mean, it's been unreal. So he's absolutely okay, we're gonna get Joe talking about Jalen here. He's hard to not talk about as much as we. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things he said
recently. Shoot, Cass, I'm sorry. I won't drop him off. Sorry.
We have to get post-production, you know what we'll do? We'll have Amit go through and beep out the swears post-production. Another thing for Amit to do. He doesn't have enough on it. We can't apologize for anything that happens live, but we can go in after the fact and clean it up for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he got something.
He's been a plus in every single game since February 11th. How about that?
Yes.
And before that, there were a lot of minuses that showed up there. So, something's different. You know, we're a month. That goes back over an entire month now. So there's something changing in the tides with Jaylen Brown. And I think we all listen. It's not stunning to see him put up numbers like this, but I think it's maybe refreshing is the word to see it as consistently as it's been happening and as regularly as it's been happening. We all know what he's capable of. And the 3-point shots are falling now more than they used to. And I think not too long ago, he said, oh, you know, I don't really shoot that many threes. And I was like, calling BS on that. But, you know, the 3-point shots are ticking up. Obviously, we know that, you know, Golden State tried to embarrass him a bit. By the way, they defended him and forced him or dared him to shoot. And he did. And he made him pay. And he's just been going strong ever since.
In a sliding doors universe, I'm so interested what would have happened if he came out and missed those first three shots against Golden State from three. Yeah. If that would have sent him on a totally different path.
Yeah, you know? two different worlds. Yeah.
Just exactly, you know?
Choose your ending. It's like...
I really
you know what, but... You know what's sick, John, is that you would love to see what would have happened. You'd love to go back in time and have him miss.
Totally. I like stories, Jimmy. I don't care, good or bad. Yeah. It's fun to talk about. But the Jalen takeover right now is a really good story. And like,
great story.
It sounds, it's cliches and, you know, hyperbole or superlatives and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But like, there's definitely a vibe of like, you know, even that game where which one was it, where they didn't play great and we were annoyed and, you know, most people were like, I got good shots and it was fine and we could learn from this one. It was Denver probably. And it was like, yo, we liked our looks. And then Jalen's like, nah, man, that sucked. You know, like, we got to be better. We got to clean it up. And he even said Tatum has to be more aggressive in these moments. You know, like,
maybe
Cleveland. We can't be passive, you know? Like, we can't be passive. We can't make these dumbass mistakes. Like, I love that, you know, because the older version would say we. Like, can I call everybody out? We got to be better. And then he's like, nah, let's go, you know? Let's friggin' do it. So I like that. But that's like the mentality he's playing with right now, which is like full on like
leadership type stuff. Yeah,
which is great. That was the Cavs game.
Yeah. I mean, he did have some choice words after the Nuggets too. He was also that might have been the game where he specifically mentioned Tatum, not Tyler. I forget now, but
who's this we?
Right.
It wasn't just Brown to say we. Everyone would say we rather than say I. But Brown was like, we got to do it. Me and Jason are the leaders. We got to do it. And he can't be so friggin' passive. There, I said it. next. You know, okay. Love that.
So
I love
let me ask
that.
You this. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because we can't always, we can't just only have nice things. Are you equally concerned about Tatum recently as you are impressed by Brown?
No.
Or are the two unrelated? Or like, are you like, what's going on with the other half of the two-headed monster?
I've always felt that way about Tatum. He always freaks me a little. Just because of the high variance and the degree of difficulty, you always want to see him get easier shots, better looks. I like when he goes to the basket, but sometimes the finishing is inconsistent. Across the board, his numbers are outstanding. It's really hard to quibble. But you're just talking about when it gets really, really hard and people clamp down. Who breaks more? I think Tatum breaks more. You know, like Tatum can be thrown off more than Brown can in these situations. Like Tatum overall, the big picture, and you look at everything and you look at all of the numbers and you look at the metrics year over year, they're very impressive, but it's just, how does he get shook? I think he does get shook a little bit more, you know, and than Brown does. I mean, throw out game 7 last year, which was a nightmare for Brown, you know, and you go back to the Golden State series and it was Tatum struggled all, you know, the whole time. And when Golden State really clamped down.
So it's mental.
I mean, I think there's two things, right?
The DNA thing.
Two things. I think he is a rhythm and a streaky scorer. And so therefore he has to shoot quite a bit. And he has to take the type of shots that get him going. But when he can't get those going, sometimes he either forces the issue or, as we've seen recently, takes a little bit of a back seat, which Joe praised because it's like take the game. And I got no problem with that if he's contributing other ways. But sometimes it gets in his head and it rolls over into his defense and it might affect other parts of his game more so than whatever. And then, he gets into ISO mode where he's like, all right, I'm really going to do it. And the defense is load up. The other is just simply athleticism. Like Brown's just a better athlete and therefore he's just tougher to stay in front of. So when he decides he wants to go just based off of strength, speed, athleticism, physicality, he's going to get where he wants to go more often than Tatum is going to. You know, we've seen really good defenders lock down Tatum. I mean, look at a great example of like Ben Simmons. Even when Ben Simmons was still considered an elite defender, all defensive team sort of guy, he gave Tatum some problems. Jaylen Brown dropped 47 on him in a game. You know, he's harder to defend because of that quickness and that athleticism and the strength there. So Tatum always, he doesn't worry me because he does so many things well. I just think offensively he can be accounted for a little based on his style and based on everything else around him, whereas Brown is a little bit tougher. So when Brown's playing at this level, you kind of do want him to take more shots. I don't mind it at all. Yeah, and I agree there.
Want to play the clip? See what Joe has to say.
We could, yeah. And also, one thing we didn't talk about is Joe Mazzulla trying to go. Going for a block. Ahmed, if somebody asked him about that, please tell me someone asked me. Right now, this is Joe talking about Jaylen. But also, Joe Mazzulla, during an attempted timeout, tried to block a shot from a friggin' from a Phoenix Suns player, which is among the more insane things I've ever seen a coach do in a game. And I don't know how it's not
up
like
there. What's the equivalent?
A national story. And Ahmed, send Bobby into the locker room to go find that, okay?
Be like Claude Julien, like taking a slap shot against like
it's the weirdest thing. Like, yeah. Hold on.
Like Bill Belichick going and like blocking a pass.
Hold on. Yeah, it was crazy. But here he is on Brown.
Right. With Jaylen. He's not only scoring, he's reading passing like a DB.
He's playing so well. Like both ends of the floor.
Yeah, what is he doing
I love you, Gary.
To be able to kind of get those steals?
Just processing the game. I think he's really taking a point of emphasis to be a well-rounded player. I think everything with him starts with his defensive intensity, and I think guarding one of the other team's best players and getting off to a great start on defense is what kind of gets him going. And, you know, I think that's big for our team. And he's doing a great job of the balance, right? Like, he can score on anybody anytime, and he's taking the ones early in the shot clock when he feels like he had an advantage, and he's slowing down, reading the game when he doesn't. And it's been a huge just growth for him. And, you know, it's a different layer for our team when he's aggressive, you know, especially getting to the free throw line. and creating opportunities for other people. So you know, he's playing really well-rounded basketball on both ends. It's fun to watch.
We do have some reaction. Obviously, Gary asked about it. Thank God bless Gary. What would we talk about?
Thank God. If only we had a guy there to ask questions.
All of you damn Gary it haters. Hey, when you ran horns in the third quarter with Tatum and Brown up top.
Yeah.
They did, actually.
Why'd you get away from that in the fourth? Blah, blah, blah. Stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Psycho Joe. You know, Psycho Joe is great when you're winning, right? It's like mean. That's why I keep making the Bill comparisons. Mean Bill was great when they were winning too. Everyone's like, ha, 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 he cooked yeah that reporter, you know?
You know what though? I've been watching the Dynasty. By the way, I was in it. Not sure if you saw me. Episode 7 or 8. Anyways, besides that, you can see how Bill just got colder and colder and colder as the years went. Cause his press conferences really weren't that bad the first like 10 years. And then right after, I think it was honestly, it might've been right after, things got exponentially worse after Deflategate, but they were bad before then too. It might've been, the first gate. What's that? What am I? I'm blanking on it, but it was like right around 2000. I felt like 8. Bill really got colder. Anyways, I'm going off topic, but Dynasty.
No,
awesome.
It did. You know, it might've been from the, I don't know. He did for sure. You know, Spygate for sure. But
Spygate. Thank you. I can think of the.
Oh, is that what you're trying to get?
I blocked that out of my brain. Spygate. That one. There's a little bit of legitimacy to that gate. There's no legitimacy to Deflategate, but there's a little legitimacy to Spygate. That being said,
because
everybody
he
was
did
doing it.
It.
Because he did it. But everybody was doing it.
Because he did it,
but like, I think, listen, man, Genie's a punk. And I think, I don't think it was that big of a deal. Like you said, everybody was doing it. Like Pink Stripe said everybody was doing it.
Yeah. Okay. So
after that, Bill got very cold.
In case you missed it, after the Jaylen steal and dunk, which when Phoenix called a timeout, when Phoenix stupidly called a timeout because they had numbers because Jaylen decided to pose. So they were 5-on-4 going back. I was shocked that they called a timeout. But when they did, whoever had the ball in his hands, to kind of shot a logo 3 after the whistle. And Mazzulla comes off the bench and swipes at it, trying to block it.
Yeah, that was awesome. I wish he got a piece of it.
Oh my God, wouldn't that have been great? So here,
that would have been messed up, actually.
Here is the totally sane head coach of the Boston Celtics talking about what he did there.
It's probably going to go viral, the block, but you don't care. And it just seems like there's a sense of philosophy. As long you're going to carry it out, and you don't care what it looks like to anybody.
I mean, I don't, there's a dead ball. I did it last year. I've done it multiple times. So I don't care. At the end of the day, it's about the mindset and the approach that we bring, and it's within the rules of the game.
And kind of to Jared's question, like the players have to pick up on it. Like, regardless of how this looks, we're sticking to what we do.
What are they going to do?
I'm just saying, like, that's got to it reflects positive on you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's about just setting a tone. It's that. And so one of the biggest pet peeves is just, you know, thinking that a guy's just going to get a free shot. It's just not the way it works. And if we're going to hold our team to the standard, we'll hold the staff to the same thing. So, you know, there's been times where we've missed it, and I've held the staff accountable to it. And you got to do the best job you can of not doing it.
Did you find him? Or did you do
the... Just a strong conversation about what the expectations are.
Joe's crazy.
I thought you were just gonna say something funny and cute, like, I don't know, the moment got the best of me. But the reality is you're crazy. Like, he's freaking going,
this is
in
on
the
whiteboard.
Hey, Charles, Sam, come here. What the f was that? How did you let that guy get a shot off when they called the timeout in the second?
It was the end of the third quarter. How could you let him think? The buzzer went off.
Oh my God. It's not just
that.
It wasn't a thing. It's a thing.
He sees no issue with it.
Like,
In fact, he's in the right. He's actually in the right. There's no free shot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love how he said it's within the rules.
Gary's question, what Gary was trying to say in the nicest way possible is, so it's kind of cool that your players, like, stick with you when you do psychotic shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. They got your back, right?
They got your back is what he was actually asking, but he couldn't say it. He's like, so the players are all right with that buffoonery? And he was like,
yeah. Yeah, it's expected. In fact, I've told
them. We talk about it. Seminars. You know?
People have been suspended and fined for not doing it.
Oh, that was better than I could have ever hoped.
Let's watch it again.
Oh, my God. Later, we'll bring it back with those guys. God,
look,
thank
at Bobby's
you, Joe.
Reaction to it.
Oh, it was so good. He's he's really a crazy person. That's terrific.
This team really needs they need a little crazy. They need some crazy deal. You know what I mean? They need a crazy person running around doing that type of thing. They might be too tame without Crazy Joe, Coach Crazy Joe.
That's just great.
I kind of like it.
Shit. I do. I don't know what we'd do without that. That was great.
Gary's trying to tiptoe around it, be nice about it, but straight up, yeah, I'm great. He's just like, yeah. We expect to block anything that gets shot after the whistle. Running suicides if we don't.
I don't know, man. Good for him. Like I said, that stuff plays great when you're 52 and 14, you know? Because it's right. Like, yeah, come get the belt, you know, MFers, you know, like, whatever. I can do all sorts of weird shit right now, you know?
Yeah, I can do whatever I want.
I do whatever I want. You know, just start dancing around the press conference. It doesn't matter. It's friggin' great. It's friggin' great. And this is from our boss. I should pin this one. Oh, no, here it is. That's not my boss. Fuzzy, you're not the boss.
Fuzzy's not the boss of me, Fuzzy. Not today. I just spit out my vodka. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's the guy. That's the guy who signs our checks.
Thursday night. Yep. Checks out. Just spit out my vodka.
I'm just going to leave that up there.
What he means is his martini.
Oh, crap. I just spit out my vodka. Yeah. That's all right.
Nick's a vodka guy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, that's great. I don't know where to go anymore. I think we just wrap it.
That's the show.
Show's not getting better.
No, not after that. Is Sherrod there tonight? No, he would have been on the show by now.
Sherrod was supposed to be on tonight.
Uh-oh. Should we do a check?
I don't know.
Check up on him. Make sure he's good.
I don't know. I'll check it out. Filibuster for a minute, Jimmy. I got to do something.
Okay. Why not? We talked a lot about Jaylen Brown.
Start playing the flute.
The other guy. Horford. Don't go do something. What are you bothering me for?
You want me to do what I wanted to do?
No. What is that? Oh, that's the filibuster. Damn it.
Prize picks. I said
prize
find
picks.
It.
That's fine.
Prize picks.
I'm a prize picks guy.
Are you?
I'm having some fun with it. I'm not winning yet, but I'm having some fun with it.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Fun. I thought Tatum was a lock tonight because I knew he didn't play a good game against Phoenix last time. And I know he loves to show out against like KD, who keeps like saying nice things about him. And, you know, no, but I think he really wanted it with Porzingis out here as well. But for those of you who don't know what Prize Picks is and whether or not it's something that you want to look into, it's the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Easy and exciting way to play DFS. You against the numbers, pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. And, you know, you just multiply your winnings. That's all you have to do. Football season in the rearview mirror, but you do have a lot of NBA action, college, you know, conference tournaments going on now, and you're going to have the tournament. Speaking of which, Jimmy, remind me, we have to ask the chat for some help in that regard, but we'll get to that in a second.
Our own Mark Providence Madness tonight. Providence might be dancing.
There we go.
But that's all you have to do. Just test your skills with Prize Picks. Download the app. Really easy. It's very intuitive. It's fun. It's easy. There's pictures if you like pictures. It's very easy to follow along. So just download that app today. Use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to 100. Deposit 100, get 100. Do whatever you want with it. It is that easy.
I want to talk a little bit about Al Horford. If we get
all right, let's do it. But first, speaking of March Madness, we do want to solicit our good friends in the chat here. We are running our Garden Report isms March Madness bracket, and we are stumped a little bit with some of our sayings or some fun things here. And so if you guys think of any and you want to throw them out at us just so we can remember them, we'll write them down and add them to the bracket. And we'll just throw it out there for some fun and see what wins. We did it 2 years ago, skipped it last year. Phenomenal was the runaway winner. But Phenomenal has been eliminated this year because we can't have repeat champions. So no Phenomenal.
You made that rule up.
I did.
Which is not even a real rule.
Yeah. It's mine.
Yeah, we need help, chat. If you think of anything that – if there's something that stands – like a Garden Report, like Wednesday thing, something that comes up, something that we say, that we do, a joke, a funny moment, something that's memorable –
yeah,
toss it in the chat. It's going to end up in our we're going to probably try to get like 16, I would say.
At least 16. We had 32 16. The other year, but that was built up.
But we're also not using them. We can't reuse a lot of them, so it's kind of hard to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good rule. It's a good rule. I like the no repeats.
Thank you, Roderick. Appreciate that. Rod. You know, the name Rod, it's a good name. I don't hear it a whole lot, but it's kind of like a cool name. Rod. What's up, Rod?
Rod.
Rod. Facts My Dog is definitely one. We know that. Also, I'm not sure. Do we get this one in there? Do we get this?
Look at this boomer right here. I do like that one. Yeah, I did get that one. Thanks for.
Cool. They got
it. Okay. We didn't talk about it.
We didn't. Sad Girls, John.
It's in there.
Oh, Sad Girls is in there.
Okay. Yeah. The Sad Girls is great.
I'm getting a lot of freaking comments.
You got Tangwade
is a great one.
Yeah. But anyway, we're looking for ones from this season mainly, not the oldies. You know, Brockton Wi-Fi, some of you think that one should have won.
How about my webcam? My webcam's kind of a joke now.
I'm going to do Joe Sway the Beekeeper, though, instead of Brockton Wi-Fi for that buzzing outing that he had.
Oh, I missed that, but I did see it.
Oh,
back.
My God. Yeah. Oh, my God. So good. You know, I might give Louise her own slot.
Louise is Jalen. Jalen.
Louise Love. Is Jalen Love.
Yeah. I don't know. That's gonna make people feel that they can.
Jealous?
Also be crazy for a player.
One of my six-year-olds, one of my two twins turning six on Monday.
Wow.
When they get jealous, they say that's jealous. So that's how the chat's going to feel.
That's
jealous.
What do they get jealous of?
When someone is doing something they want to do and she goes, no, that's jealous.
Because you're saying don't be jealous or something like that.
She just thinks, she's just describing it as this thing is jealous. Yeah. Not I'm jealous.
I want to do it too. Yeah.
This is jealous. So that's how it works. As we said,
Rod has spoken. My man.
We will. We'll talk about Alan Tillman.
He's cool, man.
I think we're getting ridiculous though, and here's why.
Alan Tillman. Who's Alan Tillman?
Alan Tillman. Alan Tillman. We'll give Al some flowers, but it's I hate saying it. It's boring because Al
it is boring. I know
Al had a good Al game, and I love good Al games. And Al was great. Like Al was a turn black the clock game. It seems ridiculous to not give Al Horford time. Like, but he turned it back. He's 37 and he's running around. He's not when Al Horford's striping threes and looking the way he looked tonight. Great, especially when you're doing it. In a Kristaps Porzingis is out game, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was awesome. The threes were falling tonight, and that's his game now. He's pure three-point shooter. And I think my bold prediction at the beginning of the year was that Al Horford would not miss a three for the entire season. Now, yeah. I was off on that slightly, but nights like this make me realize why I made that prediction, because he's going to get those looks, even when Porzingis isn't part of the action, when he's replacing him. He's going to be that guy who's going to get that corner three look or whatever it is. And tonight he made him count. And they're going to desperately need that in the playoffs when they are, knock on wood, fully healthy. And he's doing that off the bench because they're going to need that bench production, John. We know the rotations are going to be smaller. What? What?
Nothing.
That's funny. Yeah,
that is jealous.
Yeah, it's always good. It's always good to get an Al game. Now, these are undefeated in Al games.
Yeah. It's, again,
I'm going to say that.
It's gravy. Al Horford's knocking down threes on nights when the ball is moving. It's lights out, you know?
Yeah. They shot 50% from three tonight, I think, right?
Just lights out.
It's lights out.
It's so friggin' good because the other guys are just, you know, have been great, but at it. But again, I'm not trying to shortchange Al. I just can't say anything other than it,
but 24. I mean, John, this must be it's his a best lot, game man. Of the year.
He doesn't do that.
No,
he doesn't do that.
Definitely not. In fact,
no. It's this Al gets, you know, Jaylen Brown gets the brownie, but
I think Al gets the brownie tonight.
Really? This like one of
that's
those
the whole
like
point of the brownie?
Is this like the best supporting actor lifetime achievement award sort of version of the brownie, where you know, well, this old guy's never won anything, so let's give it to him. He'll get the blondie, okay? Not quite the brownie. The supporting actor award.
You got to give Al Horford the brownie tonight, John, because it was a season high 24 points for him. He's only had one other game this year where he's hit the 20-point marker, and he hit 24 tonight. So he gets the brownie. And the spirit of the brownie is that you don't give it to Jaylen. That's the joke, is that Jaylen Brown never gets the brownie. But we named an award after him.
Yes.
So that he still gets talked about in the show.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Jaylen, we gave out the brownie tonight.
Sorry, Jaylen. No, you guys are right. The spirit of the brownie is to never go to Jaylen Brown. So, Al Horford, you get the brownie today. Now. Congratulations. Yep.
And he honestly deserved it. 24 points. Again, season high, 24, 6 of 10 from three. That's just chef's kiss. That's chef's kiss right there is what that is.
So good. Here's why the other conversation that people want us to have I feel like all we're just doing is yo-yoing. Luke has a good game. Oh, Luke! You know, Tillman doesn't play. Tillman does play. Oh, Tillman passed Luke. And we just keep going.
Bobby goes quiet.
And yeah. And Bobby goes quiet. Bobby gets mad. He doesn't just go quiet.
He gets angry. Arthur Fist mode.
Bobby is seething. Okay. He gets snippy with me. That's the only time he gets snippy with me. During these what do you want us to do? Cut him? You know, like he gets really.
Yeah. What do you want for your third center? He's your third center, John.
I hate the Luke talk, and I hate the Tillman talk.
We keep criticizing this guy.
What do you want from him?
And done more than anyone has ever expected, except me. He's your third center. That's what we get on any bad game. And not even a good game. He says, I told you. I've been saying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's the thing, is the conversation gets boring because it's like my feeling is the same the whole time. I'm like, I think generally speaking, Tillman's an overall better and more effective basketball player than Luke.
He's got that dog in him.
But Luke's doing like his
Luke.
Thing.
I like Luke.
He's doing his little lobby thing. Too. But then there's nights like tonight where he does look like that tall dude who's nothing but tall at the Y, you know, and like you know, and that's all he is just tall. They're like, you must have played basketball because you're tall, but I don't, you know. it couldn't have been great, right? You know, like,
right. Where'd so you like, play? What happened? Yeah.
Westfield State, you know, like, okay, you know.
I played at like Endicott or something.
They needed a tall guy. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and that's no what offense. It is. He falls down and he's like, no one's going to pick me up.
It's,
you know,
hard for those. You get a certain height, John. It's hard to be coordinated that way. That's why, like, the Durants and the Embiids and everybody are like, one in a quadrillion. Amit,
you've been requested for an intro change. He's our third center. What do you want from him? It's like Jennifer Love Hewitt. What no, do you
that's
want
gonna
be, from
No,
me?
That's a bracket.
What do
that's
you want from me?
That's a bracket edition.
It's a bracket edition.
Third center.
But some people like Luke's fit. I'm not going to argue with them.
Listen, I think Luke, again, it's almost like it depends on the game. You know what he does well for you when he does it well. And it's very matchup based. I'm with you, John. I think Tillman is the more versatile big in there. I think he's obviously the more athletic big. I think he can do a little bit more on the defensive end. But Luke gives you that height. Luke's a good roller. He's good on the – he can be good on the oop sometimes when they look for him. I mean, I go back to last week when he had a good couple of oops. Talking about alley oops, not mistakes.
Yeah.
And so like there's some role for him on the team in a small way. I don't know what it looks like when the playoffs come around. I don't think him or Tillman are guys that you're going to really be relying on. And I think if you are, again, yeah, something must have gone wrong at some point. But traded for Tillman. They traded for Tillman with the idea that they were going to get this guy some bird and see what they had. And not just this season. I think he's somebody that they think that they can keep on their roster beyond this season. So I don't know if that's how they feel about Luke or not, but I would expect both guys are going to rotate in and out, John, and just on a matchup based feel type of thing.
Now this could just be the vodka talking, but I like you guys and I want you to like this video.
We just like this video.
Just like it.
Do Nick a favor.
Like the video.
Let's do Joe Sway. Let's do Joe Sway a favor. Just like it. Let's do Joe Sway a favor, John.
Let's do Joe Sway a favor and bring him on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe Sway. And just like it.
Will you just it's like me?
It's the old caps that does it for me.
No, Nick had an earlier tweet about like, I'm just finishing my ninth vodka and tuning into the show.
Oh, I thought you were doing that based on the caps. I was like, maybe.
There was a lot of laughter.
He thought it was like the best idea. Like, let me tell these guys to like this thing right now. Hey, he's feeling good, man. That was a heck of a win. I don't blame Nick.
Nick took a shot every time Horford hit a three today. I think Nick took a shot.
Yeah, he definitely took that bet, thinking it was only going to be a couple. And he was really wrong on that one. 20 plus from Al, man.
That's like this over right here.
We gave Al the brownie tonight. We gave him the brownie award.
Oh, he deserves it, man. This dude's on a tear. All NBA Jalen.
No, we gave Al the brownie.
No. Jalen doesn't get it.
We gave Al the brownie. Al Horford got the brownie award.
So
hold on real quick. I want to address this comment. Great win, Josue.
Jalen doesn't get the brownie.
Matt, no joke. I had an idea for a podcast back when I was like in my heavyweight champion drinking days, and I don't drink like that anymore. But
often.
I just don't. I don't go there.
I've heard stories, but my
You're idea,
not allowed to. Big difference.
My idea for a podcast was called Under the Table, and it was going to be daring anybody to come on with me and go drink for drink, and we'll just talk for the entire time until one person is unable to do it. And the idea would be that I would win every single time.
You were ahead of your time.
That sounds like a riveting show, John.
It would have been like the man versus food, Adam Rich sort of thing, where he'd like gain 700 pounds and like had to have like a quadruple bypass, and then he's like had to stop doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
Shot for shot's aggressive. Maybe just drink for drink. You know, like shot for shot would be But it's it sounds like drink champs. That's a great
IPA
podcast.
IPA for IPA.
But I had this a long time ago.
Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're ahead of the curve. You're ahead of your time.
Yeah. That's I had it as an idea, but then also thought, like, I don't want to die. But anyway, just wait. No, takeaways from tonight. Obviously, Al was great. Were you in the locker room or talking to anybody?
I was not. I was I just caught Joe Mazzulla. Tatum and Brown gonna take the podium. But yeah, I mean, as you can imagine, a lot of the things that Joe was talking about is just executing, taking away what the defense, you know, didn't present itself, if you ask me, in that second half. I thought the Phoenix Suns just, like, they were like, we're going to go on this big run, and that's how we're going to fix this deficit. And it just – I felt like the Celtics just found more holes throughout their weak defense in that second half, and just that was the big difference in that third quarter, along with the Jays, of course. And Jalen was unstoppable. I just think that what he's going through right now is, like, not going to slow down anytime soon. But, unfortunately, it probably will have to at some point, because Celtics have to – give these guys some rest. I know he got rest the other night, and he's still going off the way he was during that during the rest of the road trip. But yeah, I just thought that look, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, where I feel like a lot of these opponents, especially throughout that huge 11 game win streak, they just start running out of gas, or they start running out of, like, they start, for better sense of word, I mean, they just get exposed. I think the Celtics just showed. They show teams' weaknesses in that second half. And it's one of those points of the game where it's like, you can catch up now, or we'll see you later. And in this game, it was by midway through the fourth. You knew this one was done. But again, it was one of those nights, though. Celtics shot, what, 23s? They shot 50. They made 20, 25 of them. You know, it's just, they're really hard to beat when they're doing that. But I just think they expose the Suns more on their lack of defensive presence than anything in that second half. And, of course, you got these two studs in Jalen and Tatum. But Jalen, man, he's just, this stretch has just been incredible. It really has been. But what heck of a game from Tatum as well.
Facts, my dog.
I'm muted. I couldn't call out Jimmy on his facts, my dog. Like, you know.
You said something, though. What did you say when you were muted?
Nothing. Anyway, so yeah.
Your last day of vacation, and you found time for a deep tissue massage followed by a long mud bath, then a two-hour nap. Because you're an American Express Platinum Card member and booked your stay at a fine hotel and resort through Amex Travel, which means a 4 p.m. checkout. And those relaxing vacation vibes can keep going at the airport in the Centurion Lounge.
Just a splash.
Before you board the plane, back to reality. That's the powerful backing of American Express. See how to elevate your travel experiences at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Terms apply.
So, yeah, I mean, all around good game. We're waiting on Bobby to come in here. And as you said, Tatum and Brown hitting the podium. We might hear from Kevin Durant also.
Ooh,
I think we went in
the podium together. I kind of hope they do. I like how they did that on the road. We don't see that often. So,
here's what's when you talk about big three, this was something the Celtics tried with the second big three, the Pierce KG one. When they first started, the idea was to send them to the podium as the three of them every single game. Yeah. And then as time went on, it stopped being Allen and it just started being KG and Pierce, but it was still the two of them, because they're just like, it's us, right? And Ray started getting sad, you know, and didn't feel like he was really part of it, and he had to sacrifice, and he kind of stopped, and it began his whole Ray-ness, you know, and that's fine. But like,
or
I love
two guys drew closer to Rondo, but either way,
sure. I love the idea. I love the idea of those guys. I think it'd be an awesome look to have those two guys doing it every single time.
I agree.
They're saying JB did it by himself. What's funny is it's never a choice. It's not like we're putting these guys up together. It's not like the team decides or those guys decide. It literally, as much as we like to think like, oh, it's great that they did it together, what does that mean? It means they got dressed at the same exact time. That's all it means. It's how quickly one guy put his clothes on. And if they're there at the same time, they put them up together. And if they're at different times, one guy goes first.
It's, or they're on this. Nowadays, they'll do, you know, one guy is done, the other one's still swiping. So the other one's like, all right, I'll go first, you go after.
I'll go. Exactly. That's what I mean. Whenever one guy is ready to take his, you know, take his turn. But it would be cool if they did it together. And apparently someone in the chat said JB went alone. So maybe, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, on the road, I guess that makes sense. You know, they have those two buses. You got to make one of them. So normally, Jalen, I feel like Tatum typically goes last. So I'd assume Jalen maybe is on.
I just like the idea of the two superstars kind of being locked the whole way through.
No, I do too. I do too. I mean, especially when they used to do it more often in the playoffs. I felt like it wasn't necessarily an option. They kind of did it for more of the timing purposes, and they were kind of like, okay, reporters have to get the stories out. It was more of the priority, I feel like. Well, nowadays it's just more free flowing. But I would love if that was the case for the rest of the season and going into the playoffs. You know, I feel like the only problem with that is when they decide, or if they decide they don't want to do that anymore, people are going to say, oh, they don't like each other. Oh, there's a rift now. You know what I mean, John? Like, I feel like if they were to do it for like 2-3 weeks in a row, and then all of a sudden they stop after a loss, everyone's going to be like, or, you know,
not talking.
Yeah. Someone's quote is going to be taken out of context or going to be exaggerated. Oh, that's a shot at Jalen, or that's a shot at Tatum. That's why they're not doing the press conferences anymore. So, but I would like to see that happen at least more often, not just like a one-off like we saw on the road.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Not that I think these two hate each other, like some people think. No one on this show, but.
Yeah.
Which, for the record, no one thought that on this show, right? Like, we were just always a little critical. That's all. That's all it was. We never thought, oh, these two, they better be best friends or this team is screwed. Like,
I might have thought so.
You thought that did they hate each other, though?
Hate's a strong word. Hate is a strong word.
It is.
Tatum and Brown?
I feel like whenever someone says that, it's because they borderline hate that person. They just don't want to say it.
No, they just all hate Grant Williams, Josue.
They do hate Grant Williams.
Grant just catching strays everywhere.
We got to talk about that too.
What did
Grant
have to do with this? Just catching a stray. No, but it's funny because
Grant's whole life has been catching strays.
I never believed they disliked each other. I just never thought they liked each other, but I also didn't think they liked their not liking of one another was detrimental. No. I just always thought
they don't have to like each other.
Best buddies, it would be even better. You know, like it would be nice. It was by no means essential, but like, boy, wouldn't that be cool if they were boys, you know, because then you'd really be like, you're playing for one another and there's a bond. That's great. It's great. But never essential.
You mentioned Pierce and Garnett, man. Those two were inseparable. I mean, you can see it now.
They took to it right away.
You got to remember, Pierce and Garnett were friends when they were like in grade school all the way up. So it was like, I don't think people understood how close those guys were. Yeah, and they had talks in the past of like, oh, maybe we'll play together. You know what I mean? Like, this was a long time coming for them. So it was a lot. I mean, they had sleepovers together as in high school. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's funny because I bet you one of them was envisioning. One of them was envisioning the opposite. Like, you know, when they said that, KG's like, yeah, one day you'll come to Minnesota.
One
day you'll come to Boston, bro. And he's like, and both ones were like, no way I'm going that way. The other one's like, no way I'm going. And then that was like 8 years of that before it actually happened or whatever. But
that's rare.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
I just feel like, I mean, I just think it's funny that like with all the Grant stuff, like Tatum's the one guy, because we were talking about like last season and the year before, like you could see Tatum being that one guy that like he just doesn't get under his skin because he's Tatum. He's like, why do you guys, you know, take him so seriously? And again, I don't think it was to the point where like every week someone was like, Grant, shut the heck up or whatever. I don't think they like couldn't stand him, but is he a little annoying? Does he have that sort of persona? I can see that 100%. We all could.
Yeah. He's
even
just
the media.
He's like your little brother annoying. He's like your, you know.
Exactly. Like
some days you're just not
your little brother. Your little brother or like the friend you've had since you were young and you know he kind of sucks. And when you introduce him to new people, you're like, he kind of sucks, but like he's all right.
Yeah.
Like
the dude walks away and they were like, yo,
what's up with your boy? Like he's all right. He's like he's harmless. He's kind of mid. But
No. The line is always he means well. He means well. That's always the line.
He might
be he's cool. Well. Yeah,
he's fine. He's just in the corner, like Grant is.
If he means well was a picture, was a person, that's Grant. Man. Like, that's the perfect way to describe him. Like he's not an asshole. He's not someone that's going to be like, you know, even when he tries to be, Draymond's like, oh, look at this guy. This is cute. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think that everyone knows that about him. And some people just, it's an acquired taste. Some people just not for them.
if Say Less was a person, Say and Do Less, that would be him. Just that'd like, be great. Just freaking sit there, man. Okay, like I'm bringing you to this party. Like, just be cool. Right. Just like chill. Like
plus
like,
one, exactly.
Grab a beer. Just like lay just low chill, for a bit. 10 minutes later, he's like telling a story to like eight
selfie
people.
Selfie time, like, everybody. Yeah, or like yeah,
eggstand shirtless, and you're like, yeah. Dude. Like,
yeah. He just
telling
like,
ran, like ridiculous stories to like Clay, and they're like, we don't want to hear this, man. Like, what are you talking about? Let me finish. Like, I can just see it, man.
What's up with your boy? Like, what's up with your boy? And I'm just like,
yo, Jason, get your boy, man. This dude,
I don't know. Yeah. I just,
you could see it.
What's up with the Uber driver? Why is it, why'd the Uber driver come in?
you can't go full grip. You're right.
You can't.
Draymond's making those jokes.
That's as bad as going full Xanis.
Yeah, right.
You can't go full Grant.
No, you're bringing Grant to a party. Like, no, this one can't hit.
You can't hit him.
This one can't hit. No.
Oh, man. Oh, God. So, JT, you know. Boy. JT's everybody the ultimate big brother.
Clean it up. Bobby's here. Clean it up.
JT's the ultimate big brother who's like, all right, don't make fun of him. All right. He's still my guy. He was a great teammate. Like, leave him alone.
Yeah. Here we go.
Right.
All right.
Tatum's used to being the father figure, though. Yeah. Oh, what's up, Bobby?
Bobby.
What's going on?
What's going on? How are we feeling?
He's like, why are you guys being weird?
That was a surprising finish to this game in more ways than one. I did not expect
finish. They won by 15.
The Joe block.
That especially, but also the game turned into. I mean, I saw it out of the corner of my eye. Obviously, most people were looking at the Jalen dunk, and I was like, I didn't really just see that. So I tweeted out, and I was like, I hope he actually did that because like that. Doesn't happen. And I guess it has in the past with him, but like Gary was just even asking Jason, like, could you imagine like Spoelstra running out and like contesting your
the
most perplexing thing. We're gonna play the bite again.
Imagine like Belichick like breaking up a pass after the whistle.
The most perplexing Belichick form tackling a guy.
Belichick lays out some guy like Tomlin tried to do.
But imagine if you asked Bill Belichick, so like, why did you tackle that guy? And his answer was, I always tackle that guy. Yeah. You know, like.
It's not against the rules. It's not in the rule book.
You guys don't even tell you guys.
You guys don't know the rules?
I have never been more in shock at a game.
If Pop doesn't do that, I'm at some point this year, I'm gonna be upset. What's shocking to you?
Well, we can get to the result, but that is just. I mean, Joe Sway probably told you guys. I've never been more in shock. Like, I really couldn't believe I saw it. I was like, I definitely just saw that, and I'm gonna have to go delete the tweet because it didn't happen, and then. Finally, I saw a clip and was like, oh, my God. He was, like, out there. Like, he was, like, in the play. I couldn't believe it didn't start a fight.
I can't believe the refs didn't give him a tech. I can't believe it just kind of happened. And then the reaction was, I do it all the time. Like, wouldn't you think the league's going to be like, Joe, don't do that all the time.
Like, yo, like just stay like, on the sidelines.
In fact, don't do it any of the time. Like, like maybe we didn't notice, but like,
in fact, Joe, it is against the rules. It says it here, 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 and here.
I think the only reason not
go onto the court.
Imagine if you were like the trip of player or something like that. God forbid, if someone gets hurt.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why it wasn't a big deal. It's because he didn't block the shot. I mean, it wasn't.
And it was like a 20-point game, like. I guess you could have started a fight if you were Phoenix.
All the more reason, honestly. Yeah, here it is again. Yeah. Here's the sound. Here it is.
Can we just play the block too?
It's probably going to go viral, the block, but you don't care, and it just seems like there's a certain of philosophy. As long you're going to carry it out, and you don't care what it looks like to anybody.
I mean, I don't. There's a dead ball. I did it last year. I've done it multiple times, so I don't care. At the end of the day, it's about the mindset and the approach that we bring, and it's within the rules of the game.
And the and kind of to Jared's question, like the players have to pick up on it. Like, regardless of how this looks, we're sticking to what we do.
What are they going to do?
I'm just saying, like, that's got to be a it reflects positive.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, listen, like I said, it's about just setting a tone. It's about that. And so one of the biggest pet peeves is just, you know, thinking that a guy's just going to get a free shot. It's just not the way it works. And if we're going to hold our team to the standard, to hold the staff to the same thing. So, you know, there's been times where we've missed it, and I've held the staff accountable to it. And you know, you got to do the best job you can of not doing it.
Did you find them? What did you do?
I just had a strong conversation about what the expectations are.
Joe hates this line of questioning right now.
Yeah, that's
like shining a light on something he did over and over again. He does not like it.
Well, then don't go out there and block a freaking shot. Nobody's going to ask you about it.
Don't block the shot.
Well, yeah. You know what he said. You heard him. I did it last year. In other words, you guys didn't notice. Like, it's like, okay.
So, yeah.
What's the big deal? You wrote an article about a game when I tried to block a shot and didn't say anything about it. I wonder why that is. Why? Is that Gary?
Yeah.
Bobby,
I want to hear from you because your reaction is priceless right now. Like how we Bobby laughed our asses off, but like,
well,
you seem really shook.
We can't play it, even though it's not like in game footage.
It is the craziest thing I've ever seen watching. Like just someone making a decision.
How about Van Gundy holding on to whoever's leg?
Like,
that
I don't remember that happening in real time. I don't even think I was alive for that. So, I can't believe it. And then you know, coming off the floor, all the assistants are walking off, and I turned to him and I was like, "Did you see that?" And he was like, "Yeah, he's done that before." So I don't remember him doing it before. So I don't remember.
Oh yeah, he's fucking crazy.
That's the KG rule. KG.
So I don't.
That.
No, but that's the player on the rim.
No free buckets. No, I got you. Yeah, Doc never fucking did that. No, I got you.
Imagine Doc in the suit running out.
Ball doesn't lie.
Yeah, but like, and then on top of it, like admonishing the staff when they don't do it. I don't remember seeing Joe do this in the past, and we haven't been at every game over the last 2 years here, but I don't remember it. The only thing I remember him doing, John, was in that Pacers game fighting for the loose ball with Neesmith in front of the scorer's table, which is kind of similar, but man, I'm shocked Royce didn't have a stronger response to that. Like, he probably was in shock too. Like, what is this guy doing? Wow. Like, and imagine, this is a great win.
There was a lot Brad of stuff doing it.
It was that's what I said to someone in the press room. I was like, imagine Brad running out there and like jumping up and trying. Imagine if you actually blocked
him. Guys, that's the thing though. Like, it shouldn't be that crazy to see Joe do it. It would be crazy to see Brad do it.
So I do remember earlier in the season.
Now, like nothing's off the table with this guy.
The Lonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson fight was crazy.
I do remember earlier in the season. He was mad after that Pacers win that they let Hield do it. And, you know, he had some comments after the game. There was like a little exchange there between him and Buddy Hield. He was mad that the players didn't do
that. That's
what
he's referencing, right? That's what he's referencing.
So there was a, you know, Gary was asking him after that game, you know, the exchange he had with Hield. And, you know, he ended up catching up with Hield after that game and Hield just kind of laughed it off. And, you know, we didn't get to talk to Royce after this one, but I just can't believe, like, this is a good win, John. There's a lot of stuff to talk about from this game, and
but
we just spent the whole time talking about John.
You needed to get Royce, man.
We just had a little
I did too.
About it.
Yeah.
Yo, Bobby kicked off the presser with this.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that was his first question to Joe. Yeah, what was up with that block?
What did you ask?
Or attempt?
I was like, what made you do that?
Yeah, he was like, why'd you do that?
I was like, why'd you do that? What made you do that? And he was like, I saw a guy shooting who didn't make a shot all game, and I didn't want him to go back to the bench feeling good about himself. And then obviously he started referencing the other stuff that happened earlier in the year and him doing it in the past. So
I love that.
Listen, yeah, man, I mean...
So he answers it matter-of-factly, and Gary had to follow up. He's like, but...
Yeah.
You know it. Weird, right? You know, like he just like didn't know how to.
You know, this is normal, right? Yeah.
Oh my god.
You know,
so Jason got asked. I'm sure we'll have the clips coming.
Right, Joe? Joe, you know anyway, we're worried about you,
move
right?
On, move, we'll get some sound from Tatum and Brown. Move on to other non-Joe Block related things.
I love how they separated themselves in this game. And I was shocked that it became a blowout, an empty the bench with 3 minutes left kind of game. The Suns were up early, up by as many as 8 early in that first. And then Celtics swung like a 22-6 run, flipped into their own double-digit lead and maintained that for the rest of the game and then extended it to 20. So, again, this isn't the best team in the league on the other side, but it's a team that has Durant, has Booker, has Beal. Two of them are playing well in this game. Durant lightened them up early. I think he started 7 of 11. So I expect this to be a tit-for-tat, down to the wire kind of game, and it turned into a blowout in the Celtics' favor there. So they found matchups, as we've talked about over and over again. The Suns struggled to do the same. Joe did point out the end of the game, losing the fourth quarter. They had some trouble against the Suns' small ball lineup. But for them to blow Phoenix away like this when Phoenix was healthy, they were missing a couple bench guys, but the big three intact there. Because, if you think Porzingis being out, Suns being healthy 1-3, and it being, the Celtics, Tatum, Brown, White dynamic there, it's kind of even for top-end talent between these teams, and the Celtics just blew them away. So I found that impressive. It's been an impressive little 4-game win streak here. I think they've altered the offense, John. I don't know if you've noticed that, kind of passing more, getting Holiday involved, getting Horford involved as passers, White a little bit in this game too. This is a great game for Holiday, probably the most involved he's been all year.
Look, it feel like those high level passing games are the ones where you're getting, obviously a higher percentage of threes made, but also it being spread around, right? And that's where you get Horford involved. That's where you get Holiday. It's where you get White. And that's really what it comes down to. Much more so than the ISO ball hope you can kick out for a three. When the ball's moving the entire time, you're getting guys in rhythm shooting, it just kind of, turns into what it turned into tonight. You can always kind of tell the difference.
Yeah, and it's a different approach, I feel like. Jalen said it's something they've talked about in recent weeks. Horford alluded to similar. And Joe talked in Portland about how they had a whole film session about how they need to get into like 3-4 layers of offense. And that's a departure, John. I don't know how many times he switched up on things he said last year, and not to say he's all over the place, but it feels like a little bit of an evolution for Joe, where the 3-point attempts aren't the most important thing anymore. It's not about the first open shot. They can get a really, really good shot, as he said pregame, and pass up a good shot. I thought Jalen did that at one point, I think, to get Holiday or maybe White a three at one point in this game. And then, down the line, like, they've diversified the offense, even in recent weeks, to where they're starting to change things or philosophies that they've done in the past for the better, I think. I love when the offense flows like this. It feels like Porzingis being out and Horford being in there is a little bit more conducive to playing that style, whereas you're not just trying to line up the pick and roll straight up and back down a guy in the post with Porzingis or whoever in that pick and roll. You can kind of be side to side passing.
You match up hunt more with Porzingis, right? Between whether it's Porzingis, Brown, or Tatum, you get into some action and you spring somebody free, and Porzingis either gets in the low block on somebody smaller, or he spots up for a three, or you spring somebody else. But like, I do feel like that it ends up being a little bit more spread it out and let somebody take their guy on with Porzingis in there. And this is a bit more conducive because you do have Al spreading the floor and kind of staying off into the corner there. Or if you get him on a switch, he might even work the post like he did a couple times tonight. He's done a couple times recently, but it definitely does move a little bit. It's like the not the good and bad with Porzingis, but like, there is an upside sometimes to not having him in there. The downside is they got murdered on the boards, especially early on the offensive class with Nurkic. And Nurkic is just a monster, and he just kind of moves, and you just move out of his way. There's really almost nothing you can do about it. People just fall off him. Yeah.
But that's the other amazing thing. They got out-rebounded by a million. The shot margin was, I think, 10. They shot a lot more threes, so that was a big difference there. But
they hit their
overall
threes, Bob.
Yeah, they hit them too. But, 50-31 turns into 25-11. So even if they hit, like, 8 less, that still would have been a big advantage in this game. So Man, this was an impressive one. Especially
why wouldn't Phoenix take more threes?
Because
they've got
like
a bunch
of
shooters on their team.
Yeah, but they're mid-range shooters. All three of those guys, really.
Well, no, I mean, Allen is one of the most prolific three-point shooters in the league this year. Yeah. KD is KD.
KD, Booker, Beal, you telling me they don't have three-point shooters?
Yeah, but the Celtics give up that mid-range, so they're taking it. They were taking it well early. I think they shot 51% in the first half from two. So that's kind of how the Celtics roll. You know, they keep that little pocket mid-range area open. Teams are going to take that. Usually it's going to hurt you more than
you know. Approach, you know, give them the twos, play the drop, give the twos up, you know,
take away
the doubt about it.
Yeah, they did a good job defensively, I think, just dealing with those blows early and then forcing turnovers too. How many steals did they end up with? Brown had a million, Drew had a handful. They end up with 12 steals in this game, which is too short of the season on that end too. That was a big difference.
It's Bobby. Bobby, there's like a high-pitched something coming out of your area. I don't know if it's – and it stopped. Oh, that's so peaceful. That's so peaceful.
He's making stuff up. Get out of here. It was no beep.
That is nice. Oh, that's because he's muted. I thought he just solved it. Yeah, I'm not sure what that was, Bobby. So two questions I wanted to ask people. There he goes. There goes our boy.
You pissed him
off. I didn't mean to. I haven't even said anything. I'm not even going to do Luke. I'm skipping it. You guys cool with that? Skipping it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bobby.
You don't ever have to ask me that.
Good. Here's Jason Tatum talking about something.
And Joe.
What does that mean when he sticks to what he tells you? He sticks to his own philosophies. I mean, a head coach run – like if Eric Spoelstra had done that to you,
it's the block.
Like, come on, man! Like what goes through your mind? What it shows more. You have to believe more in him when he lives to his own words.
Gary's almost a surprise.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. That's who Joe is. So when he did, I wasn't caught off guard. I expect him or one of the coaches to do that. I love Joe for Joe.
It's kind of what it is now.
It's kind of what it is. One question I was going to go to. We've had this conversation a ton, and I'm not going to belabor the Joe thing, even though I do think it's really bananas, cuckoo banana. What's so funny is I know there's people in the comments here like, it's not a big deal. Stop talking about it. It's literally going to be one of the number one topics in the next 24 hours in the news.
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
Nationally. Yeah, it is.
For NBA? For NBA news? Oh, yeah. It's going to be everywhere. It already is.
People are going to talk about
not
it.
Not national sports.
It'll be like a Twitter. It'll be like an NBA Twitter meme thing. It'll be like whatever, but it's. I don't think.
Anyway.
I don't think they're going to be talking about it on the shows, Jimmy. They probably did a whole thing on it on Inside the NBA.
Bobby's
those
got a whole
guys, those guys might joke about it for
it's
a minute.
Legit. Yeah. It's legit hilarious, and it deserves to be discussed. It doesn't. Here's the thing. Just because we're talking about it, it doesn't mean it's like a big deal. It's just cuckoo bananas and fun to talk about. Okay.
Right. That's I'm fine with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
So we've talked about this before. I'm going to throw it out there. Okay. Jaylen Brown's on a like epic tear right now. Looks like the leader of the team, taking more shots than Tatum, pacing the team, leading them in a lot of different ways. Ever since the All-Star break, he's been their overall best player, and I think, in a pretty convincing way. And we've seen Kevin Durant do Kevin Durant things, even though they wore him down in the second half. We'll ask this question because we've asked it a million times, and I'll put everybody on the spot. Would you still have wanted the Celtics to have made this trade but whenever it would have been prior to last season?
Nah.
You want me to go first?
Nah, I don't think so. Still don't. It casts a big shadow. And I think just where the path these guys were on, I don't know. It could have worked, but I like them seeing this one through better, especially with the way Jaylen's coming to his own this year and continues this whole this year is better than my last year. You know, like this is, you could say the same thing again this year. We've been saying that essentially since his second year. So, yeah, I still take this route.
There's another one people wanted to do.
No, come on.
None of us
do. You guys still talking about that? Not you guys, but the viewers, you guys still like dreaming about
people. No, not anymore.
No one's saying.
I'm saying once upon a time, that was one that was on people's radars.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Because of the relationship with Tatum and all that. Yeah. I thought you meant like.
Man,
I did guarantee it's a tough call, man.
Because when he's been out there, it's
really.
What do you mean?
I agree with this sentiment, and I think a lot of people react emotionally. Winning with homegrown feels better than winning with hired guns. There's no question about it. But if you win this year, it's with two homegrown and a lot of hired guns.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about who they bring in. I mean, the Celtics won with hired guns.
You tossed your core away now. Rob is gone. Smart is gone. You got the two left, but you didn't keep the whole core.
I don't give a shit about that, John. In 2008, what did they do? They dumped every single homegrown player.
It always feels better when it's homegrown. Yeah,
I disagree. I think that's made up.
You're right.
It would have been 80 for 3.
It's not always. Well, Bob, are you saying that they would have won? It's nice when you can. It's
you
got to
do it. Are you saying they would have won a
championship?
I mean, John, yeah, in the perfect scenario, you draft great and you bring up the – yeah, sure, I get it. But you also have to make a decision. Are these guys good enough to win or are they not? And then you got to dump them and you bring in the guys that you think are, and then you win. And then you're not like, oh, if only we could have won with the other guys instead. Like, no, you're just like, hell yeah, we just won the freaking title. So I think – regardless of who wins it, you're just excited that they win it. Now, it's a hard question because are we saying Kevin Durant stays healthy or does he get hurt the same way he did? Does he miss some time?
He wasn't even around last year.
He's still been Kevin Durant when he's out there playing.
He's still been elite.
I did think it would have been interesting to see Tatum and Durant play together. And I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Brown's playing great right now. It's a question that you got to ask, I think, at the end of the year.
Okay, we'll ask it at the end of the year. The last question I want to ask, non-game related.
I just want to say,
I know
it
makes
way,
it easier.
Non-game related, too, but a lot of.
Let Bobby say what he wants to say.
Well, go ahead, Bobby.
As much as I wanted it, and I still kind of want to see how it would have played out. That package, man. Brown, White, all of those picks. I think there was even the rumor that they wanted Smart too, or maybe Rob.
It's a stupid thing.
The trade that was offered,
it was a thousand times over. It's only in a universe where these two could have just swapped places. Would you rather have had this guy than that? The deal to have gotten him would have crippled the team. It's not even close to worth it. It was more of a theoretical conversation. It was a horrible trade. So no question, you wouldn't have made that trade.
How many more years does Durant have? He's got a couple more.
It's amazing that he's still like fourth in the league in scoring and like looks like the same guy.
When he's out there, he's sensational.
He's been hurt a lot.
He's been back. I mean, that's the thing. Like, yeah, when you think about all those injuries and stuff, like that's.
I think it would have been pretty sweet.
Like I said, the list of people who tore an Achilles and came back and were close to the same guy has one person on it, and it's Durant.
It's this dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's him.
I think this is a fair point here. It probably would have been similar to the Bucks this year, just losing all that depth. Get the two great guys and you're really good.
It was a horrible trade. Last thing, and we'll wrap it up, but a lot of buzz and a lot of groundswell of support to bring this guy back, give him the 15th roster spot and let him get his championship, ride along, come along for the ride, and just be there smiling, waving towels, getting into a game or two, human Geno lighting up the crowd whenever he does get a couple of minutes, and kind of a good, nice, sort of feel good story. It's never going to feel great knowing that, like, after he left here, he was never the same, but it would be nice.
Damn, John, you put it that way. I'm convinced now.
Why won't they do it?
they don't want the sideshow. But I would be for it because I think he's just such a good dude and such a he was such a good player at a time when they needed what he brought them. And he really did kind of – if you were a Celtics fan in those between years, I mean, this guy, Mr. Fourth Quarter, it was unbelievable. It was an unbelievably fun time to be a Celtics fan during a time where you didn't really think there was going to be a lot of fun moments. And for that reason, I mean, he played hurt. He got screwed. The team screwed him. We can say it. Danny Ainge kind of screwed him there. And it would be cool to have him back. Now, I think IT wants to play, though. He's not looking for a charity title. He wants to play. And I honestly, like, I've just seen some highlights.
You think he wants to play at this point?
I know he wants to play at this. I mean, Bobby, who doesn't want to play? Obviously, he wants to play.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants.
He's doing everything. He's doing everything.
In order to make money, you have to play. Yeah.
He's doing everything he can to show that he can still play.
If that's the case, it's not a fit.
No, but I mean, at this point in the season,
he does not want to play for this team. He is not here to get legit minutes for the Celtics.
No, he wants to play. He wants to play just in. He wants playing.
Oh, though. Okay. Like, get some minutes down the stretch.
Yeah, he's not going to get him.
Celtics. No. But I think he's doing the G League thing to show that he can still ball out and he can still.
That might be his long term goal. But, like, latching onto a team just to get a ring isn't horrible, right?
No, it's not. And if that's the case, yeah. I mean, their rotation is going to be seven guys, anyways. It doesn't even matter who the 10 through 15 are. Once you get to the playoffs. So, yeah, I would bring him on. You know, he's a good vibes guy, you know. Why not? He's like your Blake. Blake doesn't want it. Blake said no. Isaiah probably says yes. Why not?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I just don't see the Celtics doing it just because, like, we talked about this a couple of nights ago where it's like, you know, you have to go through that whole thing again. Not that he's going to be traded the way he was in his first
it's the sideshow.
It's the sideshow, and then it's the, like, you know, everyone's showing up in IT jerseys, which will be great. It's a great moment, but, like, the other side of that,
but let's say the Celtics
don't win a championship, or even if they do win one, like, letting him go again, like, I just think that's the part Celtics just don't want to do that again. You know,
this is a good point, by the way,
especially if he never gets picked up again. But look, if he's more than willing to, which I'm sure he would be, like, it's a great story. I would love to see IT find a situation where he can carve out a role for next season and have one-year deals. Like,
you're gonna get that
at his age, at this point in his career, he's not going to convince a team to give him a long-term deal. But if he can just kind of put together 1 year, you know, for the next few years, just get get a role for a team that he can come back to the NBA and say, man, I came back, played for a few more years. That'd be an incredible story. Like, that's what I would hope for him.
Guys, if this is
a stepping stone to that, then okay, so be it. But that's what I envision for him.
I feel like they should it's overdue. We're talking about
the 15th spot on the roster.
It could be a stepping
stone. The only thing it's going to do is get people to say, play him over Pritchard.
It's going to turn into a Taco Fall thing, like, with people just screaming to get him in. The downside isn't whether IT wants to play. The downside is whether the sideshow becomes a distraction from the goal.
Don't you
which
think
is
that's
like,
side down?
Why are we dealing with this nonsense? We're like the best team in the NBA. Can you guys stop cheering for this 15th guy to enter the game and let us play? Like, that's the only downside to it. Is like, is it disrespectful to the current players to bring in a guy that, like, the fans are going to be like, I want IT, and, like, lose focus about shit, and or stupidly think exactly what Jimmy said, like, should he be in the rotation and the talk radio stuff, and you don't think that that's coming? Like, whether it's bullshit, I think it's a legit distraction.
Yeah,
because I think it's a
everyone's
legit
gonna talk
distraction.
About what happened and the trade.
I love the idea of it, but you know, I think it's a legit distraction.
I don't think it would be as much now because they're so successful. Because he's
people
so
would go bananas
beyond.
For him. Bananas.
Yeah, I think for him, I don't think there would be a sense of he can come in and be better. I should hold myself there because that might exist. Because I think people get a little crazy with how they talk about Pritchard, but I don't think there'd be an expectation that he's coming in.
Should he take Luke's minutes?
Well, that's a different detail.
Whoa.
I think it's so clear at this point that he's the 15th guy. He's not going to play. And he's beyond his prime to the point where he's just a locker room guy and that kind of presence. So I think it could work this time around. But I don't know if their stance is wavered, as you said, John, from the position that it would be a distraction, especially to the guys in front of them. I wish they did it during that COVID year, as I said a couple of days ago. I think that was the perfect time. You needed bodies. Everybody had COVID. I don't know why they didn't do it then. But I just feel like not that I'm going to get into the whole, oh, they did him wrong, but like the way he was sent out wasn't great. And the easy way to fix that is even like a 10-day. You can't do like a 10-day and just kind of have that moment with him, because he was important, guys. He was like, he took you back to the playoffs the year after you were one of the worst teams in the league. And he changed the
other than this year.
Bobby's just never going to forgive the Celtics for giving Joe Johnson that 10-day in 20.
Guys,
why Joe Johnson over him? What was that?
Other than this year, that was the most fun Celtics team to watch. I mean, and then the second half of the championship run, IT teams were more enjoyable than a couple of conference finalists.
The run he went on was just insane.
That was electric. Like that was as fun as
he played hurt the whole way.
Yeah,
he gave a lot. He did a lot. I don't know. You're not going to retire his number.
Worst part is they traded
the chemistry, but
they traded him for the anti-IT. That's the worst part. We got the guy that was like the freaking worst Celtic ever in Kyrie Irving. We traded away the one that was like the best Celtic that we've had in so long. That's the part that kills. Freaking Kyrie.
It was amazing. It was an amazing run. And again, you're talking about a good storybook sort of thing. You're right. Like someone put it in the chat. Imagine a blowout game where he gets fourth quarter minutes and just lights it up for like 18 points in the fourth. Yeah. Place would friggin' fall apart. You know, like the garden would come to pieces. So it'd be a cool moment. And somebody also put in the chat, ask the players. If the players are fine with it, yeah.
Then John Smart begged them to bring him in and they wouldn't. Remember, he called Smart and was like,
sometimes people don't know what's in their own best interest, but yeah.
It is weird how they didn't give him like more of an opportunity to come back or any opportunity.
They like won't even, they changed their, they like, they,
I blame, like, it's Brad's fault. It's Brad hated IT.
Brad hates him.
I can't figure out why, but he did.
I think it's a distraction thing, Jimmy. Now, has that died down to the point where it's feasible now? There's a discussion to be had there. But if they feel like it hasn't, I don't begrudge them for it, because there's a lot riding on this year. And even if something as silly as that could disrupt the chemistry, which has been unbelievable.
It's the risk, not necessarily the likelihood. Yeah. All right.
There's no reward to it. Yeah.
We'll hear from one more time. Here's Jalen's reaction to Joe blocking the shot before we go, okay? Trying to block the shot. Trying to get it in there. There he goes.
What was your reaction to that after the timeout?
No, I didn't see that. But that sounds like Joe Mazzulla, but I didn't see that. No.
Have you seen him do it in the past? He said he's done that before.
Yeah, I've definitely seen him do it in the past.
He's weak.
And like if
Jalen knows.
Joe, if the guy like keeps trying to shoot, like Joe will just keep playing defense, like he'll take it as far as he needs to. But nah, I missed that one. I wish I'd seen it though.
I mean, they like it.
That's so funny. No, I don't. Like, I don't mean that
he's
as in
smiling.
Like
he's making fun of him.
Yeah, I don't think he's making fun of him. I think he just knows. Just like that sounds like some shit he would do. Like he's just like, yeah,
that's good. Totally something Joe would do. Yeah,
I don't think he dislikes it. Don't get me wrong here. Don't come for me in the comments.
If the guy's got to take the shot, that's the best funny line. He'll just keep playing defense.
So good. It's not a big deal at all.
He went on the praise show.
This is always what I think of with Joe Mazzulla, is Crazy Joe DiVola. I always think of that, of the Seinfeld thing.
Joe's coaching too, saying we're all in this together. That's when creates the environment, alluding to stuff like that. It's a respect level. There's no hierarchies. Joe sets the tone coming in and being prepared first. He's diligent. He allows us to be who we are. We haven't had so many lapses this year. We've been the focus team, the smarter team. That's coaching.
I, honestly, like, the season's not complete until he actually gets a piece of one, right?
Yeah.
Like, he has to block one.
He's got to get one.
I'm literally trying. I'm only going to watch for that the rest of the year. I don't care about anything else. Like, I want him to get – I want him to make contact with a shot.
He wants to
– I want it to happen.
He wants to
– when the score's close, it's a close game. That's happened. Just see what happens.
I bet if they had a situation like a couple years ago where you were missing like eight guys with the COVID, like, he would have tried to suit up and play. There's no doubt. He would have been talking to Brad. He would have been like, is there any way? You know, that just feels like where this stems from here. I have to see the other times he did it, right? Like, did he just kind of like, you know, throw his arm out there? The guy was right next to him. So he kind of just like put his arm up behind him or like yelled at a guy. Cause I have never seen him walk on the court, get in a stance and like full, like, you know, contest. It was crazy. It was
Full extension.
Crazy. Yeah. I just, whew, that was a sight to see.
It's awesome.
This guy, I
honestly believe for real that the NBA will actually probably in the next 48 hours tell him to never do that again. And then it'll be over. I don't think there's any question that's going to happen. I don't think anybody knew it. And I think they'll be like, wait, he's what? And they'll be like, you could never, ever go do something like that, interfering with the players. Like, you could cause it. Ever, ever, ever are you allowed to. Like, it's going to
be. Imagine if a fight. What would have happened if there was a fight after that? Like, it would have been the worst look ever.
And there would have just been a fight.
Joe would have, like, been doing that.
I don't think it's Bobby. There wouldn't have been a fight. There wouldn't have been a fight over that.
Putting them in a sleeper hold. Like, that's what would have happened.
Jimmy, what would you have done if you were...
wasn't enough there.
What would you have done?
Maybe just a little back and forth. Just a little back and forth. Like, a couple words back and forth and on your way. Like, he wasn't even close to blocking it.
Right, and you know, that's the
he's also like
there.
6 feet. Like, when's he gonna block a shot?
Hold on. What did Joe Sway say though?
No offense, but like, I don't think he was worried about him blocking a shot.
Jimmy, would you give him a second? What did Joe Sway say?
You said the KG thing, which to me is very different. Like, guys do that all the time, and he's a player. But like, you're at the rim, the ball is up there, you just kind of grab it to like step on the floor. And Jimmy's right; he wasn't gonna block him.
I mentioned Doc. I'm not talking about Philadelphia or Milwaukee Doc. I'm talking about 08 Doc. Like, can you imagine in those years be like, hey, like, that would be a thing. Phil Jackson would be like, what's going on here? Like, imagine against the Lakers or even like during the finals. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's Joe. I'm not
maybe they love it.
I'm just stunned.
No, I don't think you're disgusted.
It was funny. I'm glad he did it.
Me too.
I'm not as crazy about it as you guys are.
I'm not disgusted. I thought it was just
I just think it's so funny.
Hilarious. Anyway, that's it. We've gone on quite a bit. We are done. When's the next one? Are we Saturday or Sunday? I forget.
Sunday
in Washington. Bobby's heading down. We'll have a show, 6 o'clock game. That's it. That's what we're gonna do. I'm not gonna ask for final thoughts. We've been talking for quite a while, guys. If you have one, you gotta sneak it in fast.
I can't believe he tried to block that
Jimmy
shot.
Jimmy's going off his checklist of things he has to talk about.
He's a third string center.
What did you want?
What do you want from him?
Did we get no Luke talk? Is this the first time?
No, we didn't. We're not going to do it. We intentionally avoided it.
We didn't talk Drew either. Drew had a 10-0 turnover game.
While we're messing around, and Price trying picks. To get off the air. We're still looking for Garden Report isms for our bracket. Anyone wants to sneak one in late, let us know, because we have a few, but we're a couple short. So if you have a couple more, great. If not, we'll wrap it.
Send him in. The,
we got that bracket, man.
If you're watching on YouTube after the fact, leave them in the comments.
Yeah, throw them in afterwards. If you think of it, throw it on our Twitter. Doesn't matter. If you haven't already, subscribe, to the channel. Turn on your notifications. Like us. Blorp, the count is, what's the count? I don't know. It's, I try to get as many as possible and then pare it down to a number that works.
Let's just say we're at 10. We need
to just get as many as possible.
We need a few to, we're close to 16, but honestly, like if I could have gone further, I would have, or I could do first round buys with the top four seeds if we get to 20
right.
or whatever, 18, doesn't matter. We can have fun with it, but at least 16. Yeah, J King, better watch out. So good.
Oh, that's got to make it. It's going to be a good bracket this
year. We have the nicest Manning as one, I think.
Yeah,
something. King Bobby works.
Yeah.
We got to get that rematch. Get it sponsored and all that.
By the way, Jimmy, pies. We've been holding JB back.
Are pies too old?
Hand up.
Okay, pies are one of those things that stand the test of time, so pies might make it.
Every year
are you wearing a tie? That was this year, John.
What was the tie thing? I forget that.
Not strong.
That was when Joe asked me about why I was wearing a tie.
Why are you in the tie?
Yeah.
What about something with Gary? Like, do you have kids? How about that?
Oh, do you have kids is in there.
Gary's
in quotation. Okay. Do you have kids?
Do you have kids is its own entry.
Huh? Yeah. The farts in there.
And Joe versus Gary outright is its own. Yeah.
Joe versus Gary. Never ending battle.
Yeah,
Joe would destroy me.
We should get Gary on someday.
Yeah, we should. That's a great call. He would do it.
Joe was a Division I player who made the Final Four. He would beat me 21-0.
Yeah, that would be
awesome. Oh, he beat John Wall.
He would also – He only way he wouldn't beat you 21-0 is if he murdered you in the middle of the game before he got to 21.
Just
like stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys again for hanging out. We are back on Sunday. Not everybody.
Well, happy birthday, Joel, my brother.
Oh, Joel, happy birthday Joel. Also. No, on top of that. Who did that? I didn't want to do that. Happy birthday.
Putting a birthday video together right now. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do it.
In addition to Joel, happy birthday to one of the unsung heroes at the CLNS Media Network, Guy Near.
It's Guy's birthday.
Guy has the same birthday as Joel.
Started as a lowly sales assistant. Now he's a lowly vice president of sales. No, Guy's awesome. Guy legitimately, has probably, done more for this company than anybody over the last year and a half. So yes, happy birthday, Guy Near.
Happy birthday, Guy. I'm right now. This. I'm gonna text it to him. Happy birthday, Guy. We're alive. How old is Guy? Do we know?
I do know. He's exactly 30 years old.
Oh, it's his 30th.
Yeah.
My phone must have been off when the birthday invites were going out tonight, or like bad service.
Yeah. So Guy Near, happy birthday, happy 30th. He's on his 14th bowl of vodka with Nick Gelso right now.
Bowl.
If Guy's 30, man, we're getting old. He's
drinking by the bowlful. Yeah.
Guy was barely 21 when I met that dude. Damn. We're getting old.
He's been around. Yeah, it happens.
Happy birthday, Guy.
Happy birthday, Guy. Happy birthday, Joel. And thank you guys for watching. As always, being fun in the chat and bringing it and keeping us entertained and keeping the conversation moving. We actually do really appreciate that. So again, thank you guys for hanging out. We will see you on Sunday.
Wait, Ahmed's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game. Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.